And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go. And so it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
So the Hurling Championship is upon us, lads. We've got our own hurling show back. We were mixed up together for the last month, and I sent all you pundits back to play with your clubs. So you're back with us again, and the championship's kicks off. So I have Cheddar here in studio, and Damien Hayes is making his comeback to the show. It's a one-off, Damien. Are you going to tell us all and announce you're back for good?
Well, Colin, if the show is in bad need of getting Damien Hayes back on to get the viewers up, I'll come back on board, no problem at all. So we'll sit down and we'll negotiate and we'll come up with a contract. But if the show wants me back, Damien Hayes is back.
So it's improved terms, really, you're looking for. It's not the reasons you gave me at the start of the year.
No, we need to improve negotiations. you can't be getting all these perks being sent off there and holidays and putting up new WhatsApp cover photos of yourselves and Mannix in the beach there and sunning yourselves and all this, you know. So we all have to get the perks. Even Cheddar would agree with that. Maybe you should send Cheddar out there for the sun holiday.
Well, you've had April for holidays, lads. Cheddar was down in Cork recently on a holiday. I think he did a show from the top of a hill there one day, Cheddar, didn't you?
Yeah, I was down there trying to buy a couple of trees, actually. It wasn't a holiday. But, Damien, you know something? If I need an industrial relations lawyer in the next couple of years, I'll be calling on you.
Come here. I was actually looking up about how ye would have crossed paths, the two of ye, and the one that jumped out at me straight away was the 2013 Leinster semi-final, Cheddar. That was a great year. Leash had got to the semi-final by winning two games and played Galway and Amore Park, who were coming off losing an All-Ireland final to Kilkenny, and rattled Galway in a big way. Damien came on, I think you only came on after 29 minutes that day, Damien.
Yeah, I remember as well. Leash were absolutely flying at the time, and Cheddar was after coming up with this master game plan where he used to play an awful lot of players behind the ball, and then he used to have the launch and puck out, so he was where he hit route 14 and everyone would work off them, and we used to leave the two cornerbacks for Galway free, and Colm Cannon used to puck the ball to two cornerbacks and the cornerbacks would solo and they would drive it down to the Galway forward line where it was all packed and congested. So yeah, we struggled the same day. I was a sub the same day myself, and I remember I came on, so I didn't I think I hit two pints the same day when I came on. But I tell you one thing, it was a tough game, so it wasn't Leash were excellent the same day, so they weren't. We were lucky to come out that day with a win, so they weren't. There was a lot of scary moments that day, so it wasn't. There was a brilliant Leash crowd down there supporting Leash hurling, which was brilliant to see as well. But Cheddar did his bit, in fairness, for Leash hurling, and take my hand off to him and say well done to him, you know. But that day we were lucky to come out with a win that day, same day.
You must have been dreaming at one stage, Cheddar, when Tommy Fitz got that goal that put Leash ahead with well nearly 65 minutes on the clock.
I'd agree with Damien. There were good days for Leash hurling. Having said that, you know, we didn't win the game, but considering where we were coming from, it was a huge boost to Leash hurling, and particularly that it was Galway as well. You know, a really recognised team with a really good team coming off of a great performance in the previous year. Look, I'd be the first to say as well that, you know, Galway men have been a full tilt at that time of the year, looking forward and all of that. But having said all that, yeah, and it was quite close actually, and you know, the game did go to and fro. It wasn't a game where we sort of snuck up in Galway or you know, Galway started to pull away or anything like that. And the following year was even closer, and I suppose if it was just to cast my mind back, the year that really got away from us a little bit was the semi-final year after that again in Tullamore. We had beaten Offaly and we'd played Galway in Tullamore, and we sort of set ourselves up, and Galway were very, very good in the game before that against Dublin, also in Tullamore, and scored a number of goals. And we set ourselves up against Galway that day just simply not to concede goals earlier on, stay in the game and then have a go at him. And I think maybe about 24, 25 minutes in, there was only a couple of pints in it in that game, and the sun got in the eyes of our goalkeeper Owen, and a goal slipped in. And for teams trying to make the breakthrough like that, confidence and self-belief is hugely important. And the concession of the goal, Galway stuck on a number of pints just before half time and we faded out of the game. But the amazing thing about it was, just as that goal was going in, you know, we had intended and we'd pre-planned to push our players up the field at that stage and gain another foothold for half time. And it's amazing how a game can turn just with one score in, you know, within a minute or two, and you know, where you were in a great place to have a go off of a team that you had, you know, were really well prepared. This was 3 years preparation, not just one, and just in one, I suppose, simple movement, you know, we were overturned as such, and the plans that we had were, you know, they were going to be difficult to execute at that stage because Galway had pushed on by half time certainly enough to push us out of the game.
Yeah, right. So that's like, I mean, they were good days for Laois. And when you looked through those Laois teams, there's so many kind of more established fellas that aren't around this year. And we might talk a little bit about that in part three. But I want to talk about the championship here to the two of you. And I said the same thing on the football show. And I just think the GAA are missing such a huge trick. And this is no disrespect to the Joe McDonagh Cup. They're the three games that are kicking off the championship. You know, there's no big glamorous Munster championship game. There's no Galway Kilkenny. You know, there's no big game to say this has arrived. Like, when you look at the Premier League that's starting, Damien, you have a kind of a timer on the top of the screen 2 weeks in advance with the countdown to the Premier League. The GAA championship just kind of starts and nobody really knows about it. It's an underwhelming start with no game this weekend on television even to get people excited about.
Yeah, I suppose we're all going to have to readjust because this is the new championship format now. So it isn't, as we all know, that there's no county action in the month of April and going into the start of May. So it's meant to be a complete club month. So it is, which I completely think is a load of dung, be honest, because and I'll have my little rant here, because the month of April is meant to be all about the club like this. And basically from what I can see is that there is club games in the month of April, but the county players realistically haven't been released from their county to play and come back and train with the club. And I see it here, I'm down here in Clare, as you know, Colin, there's no club championship at all.
Right.
In County Clare, there's been two club games in Galway. We won't play another game until realistically September. In Tipperary, it was the same, two games in Tipperary, and they won't play again until they're knocked out, which is more than likely September again. I don't know what it's like in Laois, but like, it's just we all have to readjust, including myself. I think it's going to kill the club hurler, this new hurling and this GAA format. So it is myself personally. It's very frustrating, you know. The county players there have the honour of being playing with the county, come back to their clubs, and realistically we only seen the lads on the Friday night before the training session, and then the day we played the match on the Sunday. Now the argument is, well, they could have trained the other nights that they weren't training, but then you have the case that the lads won't be any good at the weekend or the burnout.
Yeah.
But Anna, that's my little rant. But the case, yeah, you're saying that it's a new hurling format and we're to get excited about it. There's going to be a lot of round robin games. It's not going to be as much as knockout and cutthroat. So we all have to readjust, and there's not going to be as many hurling games as we know as the football games. But as you said, we're kind of waiting for the whole championship to kick off, and there's no games at all on for the month of April and even the start of May. We have to wait another week. So we just have to readjust, Colin, and this is the new format and we just have to go with it. But we are looking forward to the hurling championship.
Yeah, I think the big difference, Cheddar, between the players are really looking forward to the four games. Offaly and Tipperary have four games in 4 weeks. The others all have four games in 5 weeks. Then Kevin Martin was thinking it's all a bit mad, because I'm thinking players are delighted with it because they go out and play, whereas managers have to prepare for 4 weeks in a row and maybe have to deal with injuries and all those things that come along with being a manager. And Kevin Martin didn't like it. Brian Cody's scratching his head a little bit about it. He doesn't know what to think. I was talking to him last week. Michael Ryan is saying it's very harsh that two teams are going to be gone mid-June. But two teams have begun mid-June with four games. Can they complain then at that stage? You know, I think I'm really looking forward to it personally. I don't know what you think.
I think there's a lot of aspects to it, Willie, to be honest with you. I think I agree with Damien. I think there's no real clarity about the month of April. You know, was it clear for clubs that counties teams just couldn't get together and all of that. I didn't see that. So I said that was very mixed up. It is interesting to note, though, that Kilkenny this year, I think, only played one round at their championship for the first time in about 20 years.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they definitely have given their team some time off to prepare for a Leinster championship and that. And, you know, bear in mind that, you know, you mentioned it earlier that some teams are going to be playing four Sundays in a row. I think back to your original point, this is new, it's innovative, it's going to be massive, I think. But the PR for it was so underwhelming. It's unbelievable. I mean, if you just look at the media attention that was given to it in a time when rugby and European soccer and a whole lot of teams that have nothing to do with Ireland at all seem to be gaining massive media attention. And we don't seem to have promoted ourselves well enough for this. And, you know, it was very underwhelming, I think, for this. And not alone that, but, you know, there could have been a lead in with the Joe McDonagh Cup and leading into the other. There certainly, I think, if you got a number of PR companies that would have dealt with it very, very differently, and that's a little bit disappointing, because I think it will be fantastic. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to a number of games over each weekend, to be honest with you. And back to your final point on the players, I think that comes from maybe players certainly will want to play games. There's no point in training unless you get opportunities to show the training you've done and the skills that you have in front of big crowds. So that's very good in its own right, but it very, very much depends on where you are. If you're winning and you've momentum behind you, great, you want to be playing every Sunday. If you don't have momentum and, you know, you need to fix some things or you need to rehab some injury or something like that, you need a break. And I think in looking at the championship, you know, there will be determining factors in the championship itself. Some teams are playing foot to the floor for 4 weeks with no break, and some teams have a break in the middle, and it could very well be something like that that might turn the league championship in your favour.
Yeah, I think that might have some little bit. What do you think, Damien? Michael Ryan's also saying that he says it's really harsh that two teams are going to be gone mid-June. He says it's particularly hard on the five teams in Munster because he thinks there's nothing between them. He says, has Leinster been as competitive as Munster? I think not. So two teams are going to go out of both. You could predict Offaly and Dublin will be the ones in Leinster. Much harder to predict the two that's going to go out in Munster. So, like, I mean, does he have a point there?
Yeah, well, he's 100% right that the Munster Championship is definitely more competitive than the Leinster Championship, you know, and that's what, it's going to be a bit harsh, I suppose, hard on the two teams from both provinces that will go out of the championship after 4 weeks, you know. So yeah, you feel sorry for those two teams, but he has a point. He's kind of basically saying that he'd like to maybe go out for the longer period of the season, like this. But this, look at Michael, is like the rest of us, he's just going to have to readjust. He's hoping that he won't be left in that situation. I don't think he will. He's 100% right that the Munster Championship is a lot more competitive than the Leinster Championship up to realistically last year, when Wexford pushed on and they beat Kilkenny in the last couple of years. It hasn't really been going to Kilkenny. So yes, the Leinster Championship is an easier championship than the Munster Championship, but that's why I would be hoping that the Munster Championship is going to live up to his expectations this year now, and we'll have a couple of humdingers of games, I guess, because we need it. And a couple of the counties in the Munster Championship really need to up it and step up to the mark. I guess, you know, it's been Cork, Waterford and Tipperary in the last couple of years, so we need to see more of Clare, we need to see more of Limerick. So the Munster Championship is going to be very competitive, extremely competitive this year, and it's like what Cheddar was saying there, it's going to be tough on the teams. They're going to be playing basically for the 5 weekends like this, and that's where they're going to see their strength in their squad and their panels and if they have any injuries. So, and as Cheddar said, a simple thing is an injury or a couple of injuries could be the ruination of your season. So that's what I think he's on about. Everyone's just going to have to readjust and get on with it, and just they need to put their best foot forward and not be knocked out of the championship. But I think I would agree with you on the Leinster Championship, that Dublin and Offaly will be knocked out.
I just might come in there. I think Michael might be hopping a little bit of a ball there for Munster Hurling as well. I think if the Munster Hurling Championship was such super competitive, they'd have won an awful lot of All-Irelands over the last 20 years. They haven't. It is Leinster counties that have won them. So it may very well be that you know, there definitely is an even standard in Munster, and you know, overall maybe more competitive. But I think Meek might be hopping a ball for Munster Hurling there as well.
Well, he definitely could be. Well, we know what they're very snobby about their hurling down in Munster. We're all agreed on that. I think me, you, Dave, Simeon, Conal Keeney, anyone in Leinster have a little bit of a kind of a look at Munster and go, listen, that's not all it's cracked up to be. We're not too bad in Leinster either. I want to start with Galway here, lads, and what we're going to do is we'll look at Galway and how they can improve, and then we'll look at a few teams that are best placed to dethrone them. So we'll start with Galway, Damien. Is it fair to say Galway just coasted through the league? It's hard to look at their team and think of anyone who's put their hand up to maybe break into that starting 15, the start of the All-Ireland final last year.
100%, Colm. My own opinion is on it, and I'm not saying I have any insight or anything like that with the Galway set up or anything like that, but the Galway went back later this year. You know, they had trips, they went over to America, they had a New York trip, they had their own holiday, so they started back later. Training, you know, they had the convenience, I suppose, of being in this League 1B, so they were able to give a chance to a couple of players, but then they fell short on the game that they needed to win, you know, where it was very important to beat Limerick, and they didn't, you know. But as I said, Galway have, in my opinion, they've started back late and they've upped their training big time. As I said, it was meant to be a club month. The players were all with their counties, no more than any other county. And I know for a fact that the players were still training with Clare, and they were training with Limerick, and they were training with Wexford and Kilkenny and all these. But Galway started back later, and I still think Galway are in a very, very good place. They still have they had the bones of all that team. Is there anyone really stepping up to push a place? And I don't think so. I think it's going to be the same gist of players that were there last year. They use basically same 3-4 subs sort of last year, so I still think Galway will win Leinster, so I do. And all these round robin games will just, it's basically momentum. It's whatever team in the country that can build the biggest momentum. But the big game for Galway this year is Kilkenny in Pier Stadium. That was agreed, and that's the big one. That's the one that they're going to be really, really going for, and that's going to be, as the man says, the moment in the championship when Galway are going to take off. And I expect them to win the Leinster championship, so I do. And I think Galway are still in a good place. They still have the same batch of players, Colm, and why shouldn't they be in a good place?
See, that's the thing I'm wondering, Cheddar, because the same batch of players, and I always remember a conversation I had with Alan Brogan, and this is when Dublin won the All-Ireland in 2011, and Gilroy stayed faithful pretty much to those players that won him the All-Ireland because they'd gotten over the line for the first time in so many years. But staying loyal to those players that got him over the line kind of, you know, added to that little bit of staleness. Did they get complacent? They didn't win the All-Ireland the year after. And then you think of Tipperary last year, who changed their team minimally. They stayed loyal to the team that got them over the All-Ireland. Kilkenny would always add in a player or two. You see Dublin footballers now, Jim Gavin constantly brings in two or three new players just to freshen it up. You see the improvement Kilkenny have made this year from bringing in a few players to freshen it up. Do you need that extra couple of lads, you know what I mean, to make the established lads go, geez, I'm not guaranteed on this? I look at that Galway team and I think a lot of the players on that team might in the back of their minds go, I have my position sewed up here.
I think you need more than one or two, actually, will you? I suppose answer some of your questions from the start. I think all of the managers you've mentioned are very, very experienced, and you know, the decisions that they would have made would have been based on what they would have seen at that particular time in the training field and in practice matches and that. So I think it's not a matter of just staying loyal. It may very well be that nobody else really put their hand up here to grab a jersey as such, and you know, you've got to put your best team on the field every day, depending on the opposition, of course. If you can do that and you can introduce a new player every year, particularly a young player, I think that's great energy we can group, and you're always trying to put energy into the group, and of course that's if you can. But the ideal that you're really looking for is that if numbers 18 to 24, that 10 group really up their game, that's the real pressure that you want to come out of a dressing room. And I think, you know, I mean Damien is much closer to this, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what Galway is doing. They definitely have the strength and depth within the county to do that, even in their own internal training games. So you don't just need one or two, although it'd be great if you have it. If you have 10 in training, internal training games inside in Salt Hill, really pressing the first 15, well, everybody's under pressure, and there's a general culture in the dressing room then of, you know, I need to keep a look at my wing mirrors here because somebody's going to grab my jersey if I don't.
Yeah, no, see, that's the thing. The way I look at it as well, and you know from playing Damien, is that there are lads on the panel who might not always do it in training games, but in the last 10 minutes in a match they'll stand up and are counted, but a training game doesn't get their blood flowing, do you know, or a challenge game might not get them going, but a championship game does. And on the flip side of that, then you can have lads that are flying it in training and in challenge games, and then it comes to the championship and they don't kind of stand up at all. So it's probably difficult. I can see where managers are coming from, where a team wins in All-Ireland and you're going, I know in the heat of battling Croke Park that man will do it for me. He might not be on top form now early in the championship. I can see why managers might potentially stay with that team.
Yeah, well, they're tried and tested and they're also trusted. So I can see that point. All right, you were saying there, Colin, that, you know, some of the players maybe from Galway, they might taking their place for granted, and, you know, they might be getting stale and all that. I don't see that with this Galway team. I think this Galway team is a pretty young team. They're very level headed. A lot of good leaders in that team, you know, and I think they know as well that this team has the potential that they can go on to win maybe another one, and maybe even a third one, you know. And my opinion, you know, and Colin, I used to say this, I felt in the last couple of years that Galway should win the All-Ireland, and then a guy came to me one day and said, you're only saying that because you're from Galway and you're only just saying the right thing, or you're only just saying it for the sake of saying it. My own opinion is this Galway team is so good, Colin, right, that they could be going for four in a row. That is the truth. They should be going for four in a row. You take 3 years ago, Galway blew it in an All-Ireland against Kilkenny. Forgot to turn up in the second half, right? Then they changed management, and they came in, and Micheál Dunne came in halfway through the season, as you nearly call it. Came in very late, could have beaten Tipperary. Last year, they went on and won the All-Ireland. So this team potentially could be going on to win, could be playing for four All-Ireland, right? They know they messed up 2 years ago. Last year they made no mistakes. I think they're level headed enough that they're going to put the shoulders to the wheel and stay going. They've got to make hay as much as they can with this good team, because this is a great team. I used to say the same thing about Tipperary, and Tipperary didn't make hay with that unbelievable team. Now maybe they'll come back this year and they'll win the All-Ireland, who knows, like this. But that Tipperary team that I spoke about, and I used to speak to you, Colm, about, was an unbelievable team, right? But they only really won two All-Irelands in the last couple of years, and some of them players were subs. So I can understand what you're saying about lads, and also, Colm, just to speak to you about the point you're making about lads not putting up their hands and lads not you know, pushing for places. And I've seen this at the very latter of my career, right? When you're playing 15-a-side matches, and maybe Clare might be able to add to this, right? You're playing 15-a-side matches, and next, what happens is it's A versus B, right? Which is the probables versus the possibles, right? And especially my last year with Galway, I was playing with a subs column, right?
Yeah.
And when you were a sub and you were playing out in the forwards, you were trying to get as many scores as possible for the management to recognise you, so that maybe the following training session you could be put onto the A team. Like this. So up front, you never had a forward line that was working as a unit, they were working together.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes it was hard to shine, if that makes sense, unless you were prepared to try to score 5 or 6 points or 3 or 4 points, but you were never being a team player. Now, I don't know whether I'm making sense in what I'm trying to say, but I found that in my last year with Galway, that I used to be playing with the sub forwards, and like the sub forwards didn't pass because they were trying to be acknowledged by the management team. Where they might be getting a run with the team on a challenge match or whatever, where they chipped in with a couple of scores. And I don't know whether you want to add to that, Cheddar. Did you ever find that with Leash?
Yeah, no. I think, Damien, that's a really, really important point, and it's a really important point for management. And I suppose it goes down to the honesty and the management process between players and the team. So the message to Damien in the position that you are in has to be very, very clear, that here's the things that we're looking for you in this challenge game or in this internal game. And it's certainly not solo runs looking for points and scores. We're going to disregard us. We know you can do that. But we want somebody to fit into the system that we're playing here. here's the particular points of that system that we're looking for, and I think that's the discussion, and I suppose it's that dynamic between a management team and the players in a team that's just so important, and it's very, very difficult to get, but it's certainly based on honesty between both groups. If I was just look at Galway, I'd fully agree with Damien. I'd have a small little bit of a worry, because sometimes a slow start to the league and going on holidays and all of that, sometimes history has told us that with good teams sometimes it has softened their hunger and that, but I think their experience of winning in All-Ireland and equally the experience in Galway of trying so hard to get there, I think will sharpen their focus and they won't fall into that trap. And certainly I think I have huge respect for Micheál. I don't think he will allow that to happen. I think they have a settled team. I think they have a good preparation in Leinster and a good sort of a lead up as well. I think they're playing off the first game in Tullamore, and that won't be easy, but then to play Galway and Saul Hill, and it was very, very interesting to hear what Damien is saying, that they're, you know, clearly are welcoming Kilkenny to Saul Hill, and that'll be an absolute massive game with a massive Galway crowd there, and win that and you certainly have momentum behind you at that stage. So I think they have a good schedule, good settled team, and most importantly of all, good scoring forwards.
Yeah, exactly. And how big a deal is the Saul Hill thing, Damien? Do you see that Saul Hill as a fortress? We know the wind is a disaster for visitors teams. Like, I mean, that's a huge bonus for Galway to finally have home games in Leinster.
Yeah, well, that was a big thing over the last couple of years. They were constantly saying that Galway were having, they had no home game, and their basically their nearest home venue was going to be the Port Leash or Tullamore, you know. So it's a huge thing to have a home game, but then to get a home game and draw Kilkenny. So, but I've said it before, Colin, and it does, and I'll back it up with what I said, right? I believe that any team that plays at home, right, should be hard beaten, and you should always be winning your home games, and whether it's a league or a championship game or whatever, you should always be trying to win your home game, make your own home patch what they call a hunting ground, where teams can't come down and dictate. You're dictating on your own home patch, and you would take Kilkenny Easter in the league final, right? People were saying, like, it was, you know, it didn't really matter who won, whether it was going to be Kilkenny or Tipperary, like this. But the story was, when that game was announced, that game was in Nolan Park, in my opinion, there was only going to be one winner to that game, because Kilkenny weren't going to let Tipperary beat them down in Nolan Park. Absolutely, 100%. They were going to set the marker, and they wanted to set a tone setter down in Northern Park. So yeah, I think it's going to be a good thing as well that Galway are playing Kilkenny in Salt Hill. There's going to be a huge crowd. There's going to be a huge crowd there. Anyone that's going, I'd say they want to be going very early and getting parking. And when the game is over, I'd say they want to be bringing sandwiches and all that and have them in the back of the car, because there's going to be some tailback getting out, you know. But yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be a big game, big game, and I think it can be a championship momentum breaker. So can, and I do think that Galway will beat Kilkenny in Pearse Stadium. I think it'll be a great game, but yeah, Galway should be beaten Kilkenny at home.
Yeah, no, they should. Just to finish up on Galway, because we'll talk about some of the other teams in part two. Cheddar, do you think we'll see him mix it up a little bit? Because if he's not going to change the starting team too much, you know, Flynn is on the kind of outskirts of it, and Burke comes in and out, and there's a few come in and out, but you kind of know the team. Would you see Joe Canning at full forward more this year? You know, it might, because I saw Garrod McInerney quoted during the week. He was at the Leinster Championship launch, and he was saying that we might try to change things around a little bit. You know, teams might start figuring them out, and now they have a target on their back. So, you know, is that maybe something? Because when you look through that Galway forward line, there's not one of them that can't play in any position in the forwards. Johnny Cohen and David Burke can play pretty much anywhere on the field. They're a very versatile team that can surprise the opposition. I'm just trying to paint a picture. If they go with the same thing, history has told us, unless you're like superhuman like Kilkenny were for a few years, you'll get caught the following year.
I think it's a little bit different than that, Willie, to be honest with you. I think Micheál will be looking at it from game to game. You know, what's the game plan to play against Offaly first up? What's the game plan to play against Kilkenny? And that'll be dictated with having an eye on the opposition, but also having an eye on what type of system you want to play against them. I think that's the strength of Micheál Donoghue, that he will have that assessment down in really fine detail, and he'll, you know, he'll deliver the type of team that, that will play well in that environment. So I think it's very, very helpful if you've got very, very skillful forwards that can play in a number of positions, because, you know, you may very well have a team that you cannot change around that terribly well, or certainly if you change one or two of them around, you lose your focus in attack on that. And particularly talking about forwards here, you can always change the defence, it's a little bit easier to do that. But I think Galway have proved that last year, and their movement of Joe around the field to make sure that he's not being easily man-marked by the one person, and to keep the opposition defence wondering where he is, for example. And it's not a one-man forward line anymore, by the way. I think it was very interesting last year, and I think Galway have done some very clever things. And, you know, even if you look at their All-Ireland and starting off the big eye full forward, and it wasn't really working for them, but they had plan B to be able to get by that
Johnny
Glenn full forward. And you know, that he wasn't able to gain the position that, you know, normally in some games he would, and yet they were able to switch that around and still be quite comfortable doing that. So I think they have a lot of aces in the way they want to play, whether they want to play a height game on the half forward line or in the full forward line, or whether they want to play a diagonal ball, or whether they want to play low ball to space and all of that. When you have that quality of player, you know, it must be fantastic to be a manager, because you certainly can think up an awful lot of game plans specifically targeted towards the opposition you're playing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Just after springing to mind, I think Joe Canning started wing forward in the All-Ireland final, and Cathal Mannion started centre. Yeah. Damien, did they? Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. He does. He has that. He is very lucky he has. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, he was marking Mahoney, so he was at wing back. So he was. But just what you were saying there on the point there, that you think will Galway change around their forward line, and will they be chopping and changing and all that? What's going to happen this year, Colin? The answer is yes, he will. He will be changing his forward line, and he will be chopping and changing because of the new hurling format. You're going to have players that are going to be carrying nickels. You're going to have players that are going to be in and out of form. There's going to be form is going to drop and form is going to increase. Like, and that's where the panel is going to come in. That's not just for the Galway team. That's going to be for every county team. So, you know, and you take the Galway forward line. You know, you had the likes of the Johnny Gaines coming in. Then you had Niall Burke coming in. Then you had Jason Finn coming in. You know, you had Cathal Mannion going out. And that's the way they've been working, right? And it'll be no different this year. Right, and Cheddar's right, there'll be days that they'll be playing, and it could be in a tighter pitch, maybe in Port Leash. Galway will opt for the big half hour line, when then next thing Niall Burke could come in. Then they'll look at the options then of impact subs, which Niall Burke and Jason Finn were the main reasons why Galway won the All Ireland last year. They came in and they made a massive impact straight away. Niall Burke went straight through, and in he went, he was hyped up to the last, and in he went, and he started shouldering, stood straight into water treaters. But I think the team will change. That's the team will change day in, day out. Forwards will be changed, rotated, and all that sort of stuff, because they will need to use their panels. As you said, they're playing four Sundays in a row in Leinster. It's 1 week out in Munster, so they will have to use their panel to keep the panel sharp, to keep the panel on their toes. But also, they will have niggles. But form will come and go.
Yeah, can I just clarify one thing to you? Moore Park is a huge pitch. I've played on it hundreds of times. Cheddar narrowed that to play against. To play against.
I know all about it when, as I said, that year that puck outs were being launched straight to the 6 yard box, the far side of the field. It was unbelievable to see. And just Cheddar and Finn, it was a great game plan. And I can't understand how some teams haven't actually, I suppose, continue to try this, you know, especially as attacking puck out. Launch a straight one to the edge of the square and work off the brakes. And it was a great game plan. It caused Galway massive problems the same night.
Did you narrow the pitch, Cheddar?
No, but instead of a few snares for one Damien Hayes, we didn't fall in that item.
Right, we'll be back in part two with the contenders.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I'll tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
Interesting, lads, I was looking at the bookies odds, and Paddy Power have Galway and Tip as joint favourites, 11-4. Now, we know Tipperary are going to be contenders, even though they went down badly in the second half to Kilkenny in the league final. They were missing so many of their big players, especially in the forwards, that I'm not sure if we can read too much into either Tipperary winning that or losing that, or Kilkenny winning it. Maybe we can. But one team that's interesting to me, we might get to Tipperary and Kilkenny in a minute, but one team that's interesting to me is Waterford. And I'm trying to struggle really hard to discount their league form, but I'm finding it really hard to do that, you know, because we know they didn't care too much about the league. This is a team that were in the All-Ireland final last year and performed very well against Galway. And I'm looking at the teams in the mix here, and I'm not putting Waterford in it. And am I silly not putting Waterford in it? Or, you know, am I just being naive by reading into a league that Derek McGrath hasn't cared too much about? We know this week Kieran Bennett has pulled off the squad. He's going travelling. And in fairness to him, it's his last year in college. He's going into the workforce, and he says this is going to be his last summer that he can ever go travelling. You know, so you wouldn't begrudge him heading away. But Shane Bennett is gone too. So, like, I mean, I don't know, Cheddar. Are Waterford in the shake-up for you?
I think the quality that's in their team, you know, considering where they've come from minor and under 21 All-Irelands and that, and the quality that they have, and the fact that they have incrementally improved over the last number of years, you have to put them in the shake-up for this. I think it's critical, I think, for Derek to look at, to be able to add a little bit more to the system of play and a little bit more freshness, for two reasons. Your own group needs to see that. Your players, and particularly the players that are going to drive on your team, need to see that, look, the old way of playing got us to an All-Ireland last year, and we've kept building on that year on year, but look, we need some other little angle here just to get over the line here. And, you know, whatever that is, you won't change your system, but you need to tweak it in a certain little way, or maybe it might be you know, a repositioning of players or that, to do that. But what's a little bit more worrying is they do have to hit the ground running here, because first of all, they're not playing any home games, and Damien has made his point earlier on how important that is. But I think their first round, I think, is against Clare and Ennis. And, you know, Clare, a real, real dangerous team this year, I think. And their second game is against Tip in Limerick. And Tip will already have played Limerick in Limerick, you know, and have the advantage of actually playing there. And I just think that game in itself is very risky for Tipperary. So Tipperary could be going into that game in Limerick needing a win here against Waterford. So Waterford have two huge games just to start off in. And I think you certainly, it would be great to win your first game, but you certainly cannot lose your first two games and expect to maintain momentum and get through. So I think just the schedule of the games and that is a problem for Derek. But I think more important for him is, look, if he can find another player, great, but he has a good team. But I think if he can bring a little bit more to the system, because a lot of other teams will have figured out how to play the system. Even players individually themselves will have figured out a lot of what Waterford do now and how to negate that. So I think they need to bring some little bit more freshness. Don't change the system, but just tweak it a little bit to bring some more freshness to energise your own team, and also to take a little bit away from the opposition.
Yeah, this is where the difficulty with Waterford is that we'll talk about their under-21s and all, but their good under-21s have all been on the team for the last two or three years. Like, they were brought in very early. So, like, I'm not sure if they have too many new faces there. We haven't seen too much evidence of it in the league.
I know, I think earlier on in the league, you know, we did speak about a couple of players that, you know, we were sort of a little bit surprised, I suppose, that weren't making the team, and we were making the comment at that stage that, you know, they may very well not fit into the style of play for Waterford. And I suppose that's what I'm referring to. They definitely have a lot of quality in the 18 to 24 numbers on the panel. So, you know, if they can get some of those to play in a slightly different way and make better use of those, they're scoring forwards, and if they can, I think they might bring, you know, bring something different to the game that, you know, you may not have thought about beforehand, and just gain an edge in the game. But they definitely have quality players and big players. One other little thing is, I just see there lately where I think Ozzie Gleeson has been carrying an injury there recently, and look, they certainly need him playing at the best of his ability to really break through here.
He's coming off a very kind of so-so league, Gleeson, Damien, and he's playing in the backs again. And, like, I mean, you lose Shane Bennett to the forwards, then you move Austin Gleeson into your defence, and suddenly your forward line is down two of your best forwards, which, you know, it's almost like robbing Peter to pay Paul there with Gleeson.
Yeah, well, I expect Austin Gleeson to be back up in the forward for the championship, so I do. But what they need to do, as I said last year with Austin, is they're going to play him in the forwards, they need to play him centre forward. playing centre forward, getting on as much ball as possible, and hope that he hits ground. I agree with Cheddar there. They need Austin to be absolutely firing on all cylinders. Where do I think Waterford are this year? It's very, very hard to know where Waterford are, what their current form is. I don't see them being in the hunt for the Ireland. I just say it straight. They're not in my top four. I don't think they have the forwards. My own personal opinion. The last couple of years, they've relied massively on the Brick Walsh. So they have, and his name won't come to me. Their captain. What's their captain?
Kevin Moran.
Oh, Moran, yeah, midfield.
Kevin Moran. You know, and how long were they going to rely on these two stalwarts to, you know, stay pulling the games out of the fire, you know, and they need other players to step up. Have the many new players come into the setup? I don't know. I think, as I agree with you, Colin, there, I think they have the best of what they have playing from, and then they play this very defensive system. So I think they could be in one of the two teams in Munster that could go out of the championship. I could be wrong. But they're not in the mix-up for me this year.
Yeah, I'm worrying for them. And I agree, and I was always on the point with Lev Damien of play Austin Gleeson centre-half forward. But you saw in the two Cork games last year, Cork man-mark Gleeson. And usually centre-backs don't man-mark. Well, they brought a cornerback out both days and man-marked. And usually you won't be man-marked at centre-half forward. But because Galway play the way they are, or Waterford play the way they do, the opposition is left with an extra back anyway, so they can afford to man-mark Gleeson at centre half forward and still leave their centre back in the centre back position. Do you know what I mean, Cheddar? So you're not really, when you're trying a lot, you see with Joe Canning with Galway, for example, when they play the six orthodox forwards, the centre back has an awful decision to make with Joe Canning. But the teams playing Waterford don't have that with Gleeson, because Waterford are giving them up an extra defender. Do you know what I mean? So they're not, Gleeson's never getting that free role at centre forward that they might be trying to release him to.
And I think that's an interesting comparison with Joe, Willie, to be honest with you, because look what Galway are trying to do is make Joe unmarkable by the opposition by man marking and that. And you may very well bring a corner back out, but look, you bring a corner back out to the middle of the field or back to your own half back line, and he's definitely a fish out of water at that stage. So I think there are things that Derek might be looking at, is just maybe freeing up Ossie Gleeson in a more free role. Look, he's a massive long range striker, so his range of pint taking is from his own half back line, and he'll probably score as many pints for you back there as he will up the field. But I take Damien's point. Look, there is a role for him maybe at centre forward, which is not dissimilar to the role at Nolan McGrath plays for Tip, which is sort of in and out, and he makes himself available to the half back line when they're coming off the half back line for that 30 yard hurley past the hand, and like, he's in the scoring territory then himself, and a centre back can't really go out there, nor can you send out a corner back for him immediately, even though you might have a free man there, because now you're playing two inside. So I think switching it around a little bit by Derek, and particularly with Ossie Gleeson, and particularly if he's in form, I think Damien made that point earlier on, players need to be in form for the championship that we're facing here, but I think he has some movement in his team that will make a difference. And I think maybe, you know, the likes of Patrick Horn and some of those players coming in, you know, and even there was a couple of players came in the All-Ireland towards the end of the game that certainly, you know, drove Waterford on towards the end of it. And look, if they're hungry and in training in Waterford that they want to grab a jersey, particularly, and I do agree with Damien a little on this, particularly if they change their team to be a little bit more offensive, and I'm not saying playing six fours going back to conventional play, but looking at swapping, we'll say, wing backs with wing forwards when we want them to come up the field, so a little bit more dynamic movement in their team, and I think Derek will be driving towards that. I think that, you know, they could surprise a lot of people. I do agree with Damien, but more from the point that the schedule is very, very tough on them, the games that they're playing, and the fact that they have no home games, I think it's going to be very, very tough on them.
Yeah, there's a lot of thing weighing against them, you know. It's the form of their best player, the couple of lads out, having no home games, no form to fall back on.
Colin, can I just say something there, right? I want to say the first thing I want to say about Ossie Gleeson is he's only a young lad, right? And he's a former hurler here, right? And I'm a massive fan of Ossie Gleeson. I absolutely love the way he hurls, right? But this year, what I'd love to see out of Ossie Gleeson is, right, maybe not as much of the fix and little passes over his head, but Waterford need out of Ossie Gleeson this year, right? And as I said, I'm a massive fan of his, right? They need to see a massive leadership role from Ossie to do, right? And basically, I think they need to play him. I mean, I don't know who might say, but I would play him centre forward. But Waterford players need to find him. He has to be their go-to man coming out of defence that finds Austin with the ball, and then Austin has to then come into a leadership role where if a score is none, he has to start finding passes for lads to get scores and up his level of assists to just kick on Waterford. And the other thing about Waterford, and I said this before, they have a fantastic free taker. I think Mahoney's a great free taker. He keeps them in the game, he keeps the scoreboard kicking over the whole time. He's an 8 if not a 9 out of 10 free taker, so he's, and that's a huge positive for Waterford. He's a huge trump card for him, so he's, but just oddly, I'd love to see him come into a more of a massive leader for Waterford sure. With regarding if he doesn't score, he doesn't score, but if he makes 6 scores or 6 little hand passes that get scores for his team, that's what I'd love to see as well coming up this summer for him in Clare Forest.
Yeah, maybe. And I do think you're right, Cheddar, in that I think Derek McGrath is plotting something for the last 6. I think there will be something new, because we saw against Cork in the Munster Championship it didn't work out, but he did go a little bit more orthodox that day. Did it? I think it was a really hot day and they didn't perform at all in the day, and then he went back to what he knew and got to the All-Ireland final. But I think definitely he made a change, and maybe the half back line is where Austin, if he wants a free role for Austin and he doesn't get a centre half forward, maybe the half back line is that position to get him free. They just want him free shooting at goals, I suppose. That's the point. Cork as well, here you go. So Galway and Tip are the two favourites, 11-4. Then you have Kilkenny 4-1. Then Cork are 8-1. Then Waterford are 9-1. They're the top 5 favourites. So as Cork and Waterford, I was wondering, are they actually contenders? And like, you throw Cork in there, and again I'm being influenced potentially by a league that means nothing, but I got the impression that Cork cared about that league. Maybe it was because they beat Kilkenny in the first round, and you know, they picked a very strong team most days, and then ended up in a relegation playoff. Isn't it very strange, Cheddar, that the Munster champions from last year, and such impressive Munster champions, probably aren't being talked about that much this year?
But I think that's more or less what you, based on the league and the league performance and yeah. Willie, and look, you're right. I suppose discard some of the performances, not all of them, but I think what maybe worried me a little bit more about Cork was Dermot O'Sullivan's comment here maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago that they seem to be changing their style of play again this year, and I thought they'd found a style last year that was very, very good, and you know, obviously very, very successful for them, and
very, very Cork.
Quite true, yeah. You know, intelligent use of the ball has always been a hallmark of Cork, and this was even more so. And you know, whether Dermot was just commenting on it, or whether this is actually happening, that you know, Cork are moving in a different way. And the reason that I say that is that when you change systems of play, particularly a fairly precise system of play to a different way, there's a huge amount of changes to that, and you know you've got to get into the head of nearly 20 players to actually change that, and you know that can be quite difficult, and it certainly can be quite difficult that if last year it was very successful for forwards. I think they're opening up a space last year, their use of the middle third players and the athleticism of that middle third players and the distribution out of that area was a different way of playing from what Cork had used maybe over the last couple of years, and obviously it was very, very successful. If they're going to change all of that into a different way of playing, it's very, very difficult to do that, and you probably need a period of time to actually get all of those little phases of play practiced and rehearsed in that again. The one thing I would say about Cork, that would be, I suppose, my you know, difficulty or concern for Cork. On the upside of that, they have incredible scoring forwards that can just score in with very, very little space. You know, there is a little bit in, they are Cork, and they have that culture behind them that, you know, once they get momentum behind them and get a Cork crowd behind them, you know, they can go places. I think they've got a good schedule as well. You know, they're playing Clare in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Clare won't fear them there, by the way, and that could be, you know, it could be a very, very sticky game for them. But the game following that, they're playing Tipperary in Semple Stadium, and Cork people and supporters and all of that love going up the road up to Semple Stadium and taking on Tip, and have been quite successful there over the years. So I think if they were to win the first game, and I'm going back to that point again, that the first game in this is pretty important. To have a free weekend before the last game, and they're playing Waterford in Semple Stadium in the last game, so to have a chance to grab another 2 points towards the end, and to have a free weekend before that. But I just think that to have class, but if I was to see that they're trying to change their style of play and that to what they had last year, I think that could be difficult for them.
Yeah, and actually, the Rock said that he would have a different philosophy on the game than what my Tyler would have, which was a really strange one that from Dermot as well. I was surprised he said that.
Because I actually know John Myler, and I you know I've seen a lot of teams and the way he prepares and that. And I would have thought it wouldn't have been a huge amount of change to the way Cork played last year. But you know, I'm not so sure if that's the case or not. I suppose we'll have to wait until 20 to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I mean, Cork, Damien, beat Tipperary, beat Waterford and beat Clare last year. Like, Cork should be favourites for this Munster title, realistically, based on last year's championship and not based on a league where every team is playing different games.
Yeah, well, I think Cork will be there and thereabouts in this year's championship. I think they have the players. I think they've got great forwards. I think they've got great scoring forwards. They've got great movement. They blooded 5 new players last year. So it is, and they all came up trumps from last year, and there's no reason why they won't come up trumps again for this year. I think they've got a very, very good manager. He was a part of the setup last year, so he knows exactly what worked and what didn't work. And I think you know, they might have had a poor National Hurling League campaign. They still didn't get relegated. So they didn't. So they're still there, you know. I suppose that was their goal, just to, you know, to be competitive. Maybe they probably trained hard and make sure not to get relegated, and they didn't. But going into this championship, I would expect Cork to be there and thereabouts. We have to remember last year, you'd wonder if Cahillan didn't get sent off against Waterford, maybe would Cork have got to the All Ireland final? You know, were Waterford definitely going to beat Cork with 15-15? There was no guarantees either, but yeah, no. This Cork team, I said as well last year that they'll take beating. To me, Cork are in the top 4, top 5 in this year's championship, and I expect them to have a big say in the Munster championship.
Yeah, I'd agree with that to an extent. Just one further point I'd like to add to that. I think Gary Keegan has stayed with the management team this year, and I think he's a very, very influential person. And even in the point I was making earlier on in terms of actually changing the way they're playing and that, that's his real forte here in terms of understanding what needs to get done. And I suppose getting to the real issues here, that's Gary's real forte. And sometimes as a manager, there's so many things going on that you're trying to overmanage, really, when you really need to look at the, I suppose, the Pareto effect. You need to look at the 20% of the real issues that's going to give you 80% success. I think that's Gary's forte, and I think having him in the back room, particularly in a change of manager and in a change of style of play, if that is what is happening, would be very, very beneficial to Cork this year.
Yeah, okay, right, lads. We'll leave those two teams there. I don't think we've time to talk about any other teams. We'll touch on them in the prediction section in the next part. But Damien, I have to pull you up on Limerick, because you've been Limerick's biggest critic on this show for the last 2 years. So maybe that's why you've been avoiding the podcast this year, because Limerick are going so well.
No, I was delighted Limerick came up. Genuinely was delighted. The more teams that can be competitive in the championship column, the better the championship can be. And I was delighted when Wexford came last year, and they're after adding to the whole championship and adding to the whole championship in Leinster. And I'm only delighted to see Limerick coming and starting to play a good brand of hurling and being competitive and showing a bit of potential. So I still think they have a good bit to go, I won't lie to you, right? But this year has been a success. In my eyes, with Limerick, it has been a success. They're after winning 1B, right? So they're after achieving something now as a group of players, and it meant something to them. And you could see it down in Pier Stadium when they beat Galway, and it meant a lot, right? They went on and they were very competitive then for the latter stages of the league, right? So first and foremost, I'm delighted. Genuinely was delighted to see Limerick coming, and I hope they will build on it, right? I don't think they will have a massive say in this year's championship. I will say that. I would be fearful for them that I would say that they could be one of the two teams that could be knocked out in the 4 weeks or the 5 weeks in the Munster Championship. But yes, they've made ground. They've made developments. They've been successful this year. They've won the 1B. As I do say, every time you go training for a hurling calendar season, if you can win something along that journey in that calendar year, it's been a success. They can't win everything every year, but when you go togging out in the hard months of the winter, you have to ask yourself, why are you doing it? And you're doing it to achieve some, to achieve stuff and to win medals and to win titles and all that. And Limerick have made ground, and they has been a successful season so far in my eyes. They're going to be, and they will only get better as well, Colin, because they'll be playing against bigger and better teams in next year's league. So a fair play to them, and I take my hat off and say congrats to them and fair play to them.
Yeah, okay, great stuff, Damien. Right, we'll get predictions off you next, lads.
And the game takes on, can very, very often, and take on a life of its own. What's tactics? I mean, you've got to make decisions and you've got to decide what you're going to do, and at the end of the day, you hand it over to the players and the players play, you know? The game was fast, was furious, it had everything really, you know, and you don't have too much influence on what's happening. What happened last year, it goes out the window, or the year before, or whenever it was. Tipperary, don't go away. The air is the air. And the game takes on, can very, very often, and take on a life of its own.
All right, lads, we'll start with these predictions here now. So we'll go with the provinces, and we'll start with Leinster, because let's be honest, it is that little bit easier before we move on to Munster, which is the really difficult one to predict. We'll start with you, Cheddar. So we'll go champions, finalists, and the three teams to come out.
I think it's hard to look past Galway. I think they just simply have the best team, and generally speaking, as Brian Cody says, the best team wins. So I think they have, and I think, you know, we've discussed earlier on about them, that there's a couple of little things in their year that, you know, will certainly kickstart performance and that from them. I think there's a couple of interesting things in Leinster this year. I mean, the performance of Kilkenny now in the championship is going to be interesting. You can never ever write them off. Look, history over the last 40 years has told us that. And I think the second point is, you know, will Wexford, you know, stay gaining and stay progressing as they are. I think it could very well turn into a Galway Wexford or a Galway Kilkenny final. And I think Wexford will have a little bit extra in them. And you know, when it comes to the championship, that they'll get through, and I think the Leinster final between Galway and Wexford, with Galway winning
again. How much of a kick in the arse will that kind of hammering Kilkenny gave Wexford down at home, because that momentum was building, you know, and Davey was there. We're not like, it's a constant kind of progression for them, and to put in that performance against Kilkenny when they had the upper hand on them, will that have knocked them back? Because
I don't think it would have, it certainly won't have helped, but bear in mind Kilkenny went on and won a league after that, so you know, it just wasn't a flash in the pan performance by Kilkenny. I think it wouldn't have helped. I think it would have been more helpful if Wexford had just grabbed that game with a scruff of the neck and put Kilkenny down again, and it certainly would have made it easier for them come championship. But I just think that there's a fair difference in championship hurling, particularly in our own field, than there is to league hurling. And look, everything's on the line here in championship hurling, and traditionally, and particularly with Davey over them, I just think that they'll have an edge, and they have found a couple of new players and forwards and that I think in championship hurling, I think they'll step up to the plate and get through.
Yeah, Damien, the same question to you. So champions, finalists, and the third place, because like, I mean, this could come to a straight shootout then between Kilkenny and Wexford, because you might fancy any of those top three against Dublin and Offaly. You'd fancy Galway to beat all of them, so it will nearly be, it'll actually could come down to that head to head between Wexford and Kilkenny. And that's in Wexford Park, isn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with you there. But I'll go with champions, Galway, finalists, Kilkenny, and third team to come out, Wexford.
Right, okay, so there's Leinster, lads. We just differ on the finalists, but the same three teams.
And I just want to say about Kilkenny, you know, I think Walter Walsh is a big key player for them this year. I think he's been a big, big player for them during the league, and he's starting to become a massive leader. So he's, and a lot will depend on Walter Walsh. A lot will depend on other players, but a big season of Walter Walsh could have a big bearing for Kilkenny this year.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Even Brian Cody said to me that they won the league, but they won the league against teams that weren't at full strength. So you know what I mean. While they're delighted to win it, Brian Cody's reading nothing into that, Cheddar. And like, I mean, you might be too soon. And this is reactive stuff all again. That after two games, Kilkenny are gone. After three more games, do you know what I mean? They're all Ireland contenders. The truth probably is somewhere in between those two.
And I think Brian recognises that as well. look, I think, you know, it's a fair achievement, number one. You've got to recognise the achievement to go and win a National Hurling League, even if it's a secondary competition, but to come with you know, what's really a new team. And, you know, bear in mind that the likes of Richie Hogan, Colin Fennelly and Paul Murphy to come into that. And each of those players, particularly the first two who are forwards, are game-breaking players, experienced and know what's about and know the time of the game when to really go for it. And look, they have a culture of winning over the last couple of years, and I think that's really, really important. On the other hand, you know, it's a sticky game to go into Parnell Park to play Dublin, you know, when everybody expects Kilkenny just to run through that. And, you know, Dublin may not have set the world on fire, but I think they're developing a system of play, and you know, they've been a very experienced team with them. Pat Gilroy and Mickey Whelan and Andy Cunningham are you know, they've been there before and they know what it's about. So I think if Dublin develop their style of play a little bit more, that and that they need to find more scores from the forward and easier scores from their forwards, you know, it could be very tricky for Kilkenny then lose that game first out, and you know, you're on the back foot then at that stage. And even though you've won a National Hurling League with a very, very young team, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult. So I don't think it's cut and dried for Kilkenny this year, no more than it is for any team other than Galway, I think, and, you know, in terms of that's going to win Leinster and that. But you've got to respect their history and their culture about winning and the type of player that they develop, and equally the quality of that's in their team. I think when you have quality players, as I said earlier on, you can certainly reach great heights.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we're being a bit unfair to Dublin, who'll have all the cooler lads back, and that'll be guaranteed four starters, maybe five. So that's a third of your team you're completely changing.
Colm, I'd be shocked if Dublin beat Kilkenny.
Yeah?
Absolutely shocked. Different to me, there are different levels.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, I suppose, but if Galway are going without, maybe you'd know from the Portumna lads coming back into Galway and how much of an improvement you'd make to them.
Well, absolutely. Oh, God, I'm not saying that they won't, and they will add to the setup and all that, but I just think Kilkenny are way better than Dublin, just full stop.
Yeah.
And cooler players or no cooler players, I just think Kilkenny will beat Dublin, and I'll be shocked if they don't.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, and I think in Dublin, Damien, as well, that the cooler players that are coming back won't give the kick that you would expect. You know, I would have expected Colm Cronin to really battle for that number 11 jersey and for Mark Shute to come in, both of them having joined the panel. And I would have thought even, you know, Cole have won to All-Irelands, which is an incredible achievement, Damien. You know all about that, how difficult it is to do that. But I would have thought that it's the overall strength right throughout their team. And a lot of the players that are Dublin-based in that team, you know, have been on the Dublin team for a number of years. So I don't think it's Cole coming back that's going to give them a fierce boost. No. I think if they can find form and find a way of playing in Parnell Park, it's just a bloody difficult place to play for anybody. I'm just thinking it might be an interesting game, that's all.
Yeah, it might be. I hated playing in Parnell Park. I despised it. It's a terrible pitch altogether. We'll have to move to Munster, lads, because this is the most interesting. So Cheddar, I'll start with you. Winners, finalists and the three to go out.
This is obviously the most difficult one. Look, I think Tipperary would have been, you know, nailed on in everybody's list to win it. But I was very worried about a couple of games, actually. The match against Limerick, I thought it depended a lot on just, you know, individual technical talent rather than, you know, combinations in the forwards and all of that. And certainly in Kilkenny that day, I take Damien's point at Kilkenny, and, you know, JJ mentioned it here the last day as well, that Kilkenny weren't going to go into Nolan Park and give up a game to Tipperary. But on the flip side of that, surely Tipperary were going to go into Kilkenny and rip into them, and I didn't see that. And I just, you know, when the fat was in the fire and there was real heat on, you know, there wasn't a typical Tipperary spirit there. So I'd worry a little bit about Tipperary in that sense. I also worry about their schedule of games. They're playing four games in a row. I know they've played two championship rounds, but they've also played a divisional round, I think, maybe last weekend. So they haven't had a huge amount of chances to prepare. And I think a huge amount is going to depend on not necessarily Shane Callan coming back, but how Bonner Mara is going to come back and fit into that team, because they certainly need some competitive and combative players in that forward line to make things work. They have incredible stick men, incredibly talented and technically brilliant players, but they just certainly Kilkenny, they were missing somebody to really grab the game by the scruff of the neck and maybe grab a few Kilkenny players by the scruff of the neck and make things happen. So I think I think Michael has a bit of a job on his hands here, and lose that first game against Limerick in Limerick, and then, you know, a lot of things happen when you lose a game like that. A lot of things can happen in a county like that, even outside of the panel, and you know, you don't have control over that, but to keep biting away at the confidence and self belief in the panel, even if that's Tipperary, and you know, so I think they need to get a lot of things right quickly here, and whether they have the time to do that or not is another thing. And the final point I'd make on Tip is, look, they have the best form and have the best players and all of that, but they're playing four Sundays in a row, and then they've had obviously break before that, but you get a couple of injuries along that journey, or a couple of players not playing up the form, even in a county with the number of quality players Tipperary have, in a competitive championship like Munster is going to be this year, and you know that your championship hopes could slip away very easily. So I'll just finish up and say, look, Tipperary on the quality, not on form, on the quality in their team, would have to be favourites to win in Munster. I think again Cork I think have more to offer, but the dark horses in Clare in Munster for me are Clare. I think they've won in All-Ireland with most of this team. They've had a number of years now to reflect on that and to come back and try and win another one. I think they seem to have gelled well. They seem to have a good spirit. They have a number of games in Ennis that's going to serve them well, and it's very, very difficult place to go down there and play in. So I think Clare could very well be the dark horses. So I'm putting Tip as favourites based on their ability more than their form, and I'll put Clare a second up, with Cork probably third up.
Right, okay, that's an interesting one. So it's Limerick and Waterford to lose out. What about you, Damien?
Yeah, I'm going for Munster champions. I'm going for Tipperary. So I'm going for finalists. I'm going for Cork, and I'm going for third team. I'm going for Clare.
Right, sure. You're going the same in Munster then. You're both going Limerick and Waterford to lose out. See, like, I mean, there's so many combinations in Munster that you actually wouldn't be surprised if Limerick were to get in and Cork lose out, for example. Do you know what I mean? You just wouldn't be surprised with any, like, the momentum Limerick have and the Piercy lads back, that they could cause a shot. Whoever wins this, you'd be surprised if they won all four games, wouldn't you? You know,
I think that's going to be a feature of the championship this year. Because of the closeness of the teams are going to take points off of one another. And yeah, I think that's why I'm sort of saying, look, it's important to get momentum earlier on, because you don't want to be in a dressing room that's leaking confidence and self-belief, particularly in a competitive championship. But you just take Limerick, you know, if they're to win that first game against Tip, and look, we all know they just love playing Tip. This is in the Gaelic grounds on May the 20th. To win that game, the next week they have a free week to actually prepare for playing Cork down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. You know, so look, they could be the ones to get momentum, and I think that word will crop up a number of times right throughout May. Teams that win matches, get points on the board, gain momentum, their style of play is effective, and I think that'll carry them a long way. So I think Munster, as I said to you earlier on, I know I'd be a little bit wary about Tip, that when it was put up to them in Nolan Park, when they should have been dogs at war in a match like that, they weren't, and I'd be a little bit worried about that. But on technical ability and the quality of player that they have in their team and the options that they have, you just have to make them favourites.
Okay, All-Ireland champions, Damien, any point in asking you who's going to be All-Ireland champions?
I think the GAA would love to see a Galway Tipperary All-Ireland final. They would love to keep them away from each other. That's what I think will be the All-Ireland final pair, Galway versus Tip, or should I say, that's what the GAA would love. I expect Galway to win the All-Ireland like this. And there's a couple of things I just want to say before it passes, right? I just have a couple of names down here, right? I think Tip will have a huge say in this year's championship if they can sort out their full backline, and I think they have worrying concerns over James Barry, especially in the air. So he's been beaten in the air now by Walter Walsh. He was also beaten last year in the air, so he was, by Shane O'Donnell. I just think it's a bit of a worry. I do expect the likes of Pádraig Maher to kind of play more of a sweeping role this year, and his brother Ronan maybe to drop back into a number six role when it comes to, or if the centre forward is on Pádraig Maher, it goes to run him around the park, where Pádraig sits back, you know, and that sort of stuff. But Tipperary have the potential, without doubt. What I'd also love to see in this year's championship, right, and it used to happen to me, I'd love to see Bonner Maher to stop passing the ball, right? And I mean, Bonner Maher is one of the biggest possession holders of the ball in that Tipperary team, and what's happening is the other five forwards are all hovering around him and running for the ball, and Bonner is so generous. It used to happen to me in my own day that he'd give the ball for the good of the team when the score could be on for Bonner in an easier position than the likes of the McGraths, Warren from the Bubbles or Shamey Cannon or whatever. So this year I'd love to see Bonner just rising the ball, taking on his own man and throwing the ball over there himself. and tell them to bite and give them the fingers and go, you win your own ball and throw the ball over the bar yourselves, because they don't seem to give the ball back as quick to Bonner. And the other player I'd like to say is something about, I hope to God Shane O'Donnell this year's championship takes his pints, because there's too much onus on Shane O'Donnell to take on the man, try to get goals and score goals. I reckon if Shane O'Donnell got the ball and took on his man and threw him over the bar without constantly going for goals, he could finish with 5-6 points a game for Clare, which would be, and maybe he'll get his goal chance maybe once in each half, but every time the ball goes into Shane O'Donnell, they're telling him to go for goals, take on his man, and that used to happen to me as well. And you'd get an opportunity maybe to take a handy point or whatever and to gain confidence and gain momentum and everything. But just them two players, I'd love them to take their pints this year and let the other forwards worry about winning their own ball and get their scores and that sort of stuff. So just I expect Galway to win that Ireland.
That's an interesting point with Bonner, and it's a pity that we're nearly out of time, because I wouldn't have been the most accurate player in the world. So, like, I mean, different managers would have told me to be a provider for other lads, but being given that message,
I just find Bonner. I remember him last year. They played who did they play down in Corky Cueve? Was it Clare? Was it
Clare? Yeah,
they played Clare, and the same day he got more chances. I felt that he could have shot balls over there, and it's like they haven't brainwashed that he had to get the ball and take on his man and carry it and then pop it, when he could actually throw the ball over himself. And like he's in the neighbouring parish to us in Lura, you know. And what I'd love to say to him is, you know, get the ball and just be a little bit selfish this year and take your own score. And the same thing used to happen to me when I was playing with Galway. It was nearly a case, if you run for the ball off his, he'll give it to you. He will give it to him pass. You know, where it's the same story with Bonner. He'll always give the pass. Where if Bonner could bring that element into his own game, where he's not giving the pass as much, and maybe he throws a dummy hand pass and hovers to one side and throws it over the pot, he'll bring a huge, a different element to his game. And I'd love to see it, no more than O'Donnell. They're constantly on to O'Donnell about getting goals and taking on your man and trying to get. If he took him on, let's maybe pull the handbrake and stood up and threw it over the bar like this, he'll finish with 5-6 points a game, and that'll be another dynamic to his game.
Yeah, it's interesting with Bonner, Cheddar, that sometimes over instructions can maybe, it might get into Bonner's head that even if the shot's on, geez, I better not miss this because I'm a provider, you know. That maybe he potentially get confused sometimes, but then again, you want to play to his strengths, which is, you don't want him shooting every time if he's not as accurate as Noel McGrath or John McGrath.
I think there's a little bit of truth in both, really. Look, you don't want players just doing solo things, particularly if you're playing to in a certain way, and that otherwise than that you're just sort of confusing it within the group. But I take Damien's point. I mean, you know, I've certainly seen Bonner playing in games when I thought the chance was on and that he should have took it himself. He had a better chance of scoring than anybody else. Sometimes the player himself just may not be confident enough to take those, you know, those maybe 60-40 chances on. And, you know, good decision making and scoring is really, really important. But I think the under line part of all of this is that anytime I've ever seen Tipperary playing really, really well, Bonner has been at the centre of that, particularly in possession, winning a possession at centre forward and breaking the first tackle, and now he's opened up the whole run for Tipperary forwards. And when he's not there, you really, really miss him, and I'd say all of the other players miss him. And I take Damien's point that, you know, you're going to expect that Bonner's going to be closed down in a game, and if he is, are the other players prepared to stand up? They certainly weren't below Kilkenny, you know. So I think they're the things that you know, Tip need to get more out of ball winning ability out of the other forwards. I think bringing in the likes of Niall O'Mara, look, some players will never have that, they just don't have it, but Tip actually have a number of those players at the minute, the likes of Dan McCormack and those. And I think Mick Ryan recognises that as well. He's brought in a couple of players over the last year or two that to try and take maybe a little bit of pressure off of Bonner. Damien is absolutely spot on, because your analysis of the opposition now goes down to the minute, and if Bonner is playing and he lays off all ball, well, you will simply just put one man marker on him just to stop him from breaking through himself, and you'll fan out your defenders then for the pop pass that he's going to give, because that's what you know is going to happen. But he could just throw all that in his head in one game and decide that he's going to shoot himself, and then your defensive plans on the other side are in a little bit of array at that stage. So I think it's mixing up his game, I'd probably say, about Bonner maybe a little bit more, and when the opportunity is on there, take him. He is a fantastic hurler, and he's a real warrior for Tipperary and any other team he play. I've seen him playing with Laura as well, and he's the very, very same. He's a tough man, tough hurler that every team would love to have.
Yeah, okay, Cheddar, we'll go quickly to you, All-Ireland champions.
I think it's hard to look past Galway. I have a little worry about just the soft, that you know that they haven't gone a little bit soft from starting late and maybe a couple of holidays and that. But look, you expect that the players deserve that considering what they've done last year. I think they've just too much quality. I think there's a level of hardness about them at the minute, and I keep going back to the point that you will not win an All-Ireland without, you know, a number of scoring forwards and a range of scoring from your own halfback lineup. I think they've an awful lot of things going from a very, very good management team, very, very good coaching team. So I think they've a lot of things going for them to you know, in terms of their run to win it. Tip have the ability to beat them. I think they technically have the ability to beat them. I think they do need to fix something on their full back line from what I've seen of a number of games from this year. But I think it's really between the two of them. You know, you're going back to culture things then, you know, Cork with culture coming from nowhere and winning in All-Irelands and that. Waterford definitely have ability, although I think that their pathway is just too difficult for them this year. So look, I think it's between the two of them, and I think Galway at the minute just have just too much for everybody else.
Yeah, we'd all agree on that. I'm going to throw one to you, Cheddar, and that is Joe McDonagh, champions and finalists, because we know the champions and the finalists get back into the championship, and I think it's a fantastic incentive for them to really focus their minds. So the Joe McDonagh champions and finalists will play the third place teams in All-Ireland quarter-finals, if that's something. So there'll be two against two, and then the quarter-finals will be two against two again, with the Munster and Leinster champions getting into semi-finals. I'm sure that's the way it goes. So who do you fancy to come out of that group, the finalists and winners?
Well, like Damien, I suppose I can't look past the Leeds, but look, genuinely I can't look past them either. I think the two teams to come out of it will be Leeds and Carlow. I think Carlow have done very, very well. They've progressed a lot. They've got out of the division 2A into 1B next year, which is great progression. They've some good players, they've some good forwards.
Your man Cavan has gone to America. You saw that there?
Yeah, no, I did see that, alright, but I think they've still some fair players to actually to do well there. But it's a very, very even championship. You know, I'd say Westmead equally have a number of classy players like Niall O'Brien and those, and certainly their full back would get on any other county team, including any of the teams we've been discussing for the last hour or so.
Doyle,
there, Tommy Doyle, yeah, fantastic full back, and can guarantee if Tipperary had Tommy Doyle full back,
cleaned out Jamie Cannon last year, yeah, or the year before.
That's true, and I've seen him do that a number of times, including at college's level. So they've a number of players. The one little worry about that for Westmead is they've knocked on the door to get up to the Division 1B for a number of years now, 4 or 5 years. I know we knocked them out maybe 2 years, Leash did. So sometimes that can just blunt your edge and blunt your hunger and all of that. You've tried to get up the hill so often, fail to get up, and sometimes you can say, ah hell, you know, it's just too much, I don't want to give this anymore. So I'd have a little bit of worry for that. Antrim, Meath and Kerry are can be very difficult to beat, and particularly if you're playing them in Ossenstack Park and Tralee, and they get a little bit of momentum behind with that. They have some very, very good hurlers, so it's difficult to call, but I think just on present form it's difficult to go past Leash and Carlow if they get the flow of games and get into a final. There's other incentives there as well, Willie. I think if they were the winners or the first and second get to play in Leinster final day in Croke Park, and that's you know, that's certainly a big incentive. But the real worry I have about that, look, I'm on record of speaking about putting teams back into, you know, lower divisions and all of that type of stuff, and when I say that, I qualify that by saying putting them there and not putting a development plan to bring them back up. That's my real worry. It's the secondary part. I'm really worried about it, but just take it as it is. There are certainly incentives there this year to get into Croke Park and to get into the quarter final. The problem really is when you get there. That game's going to be on July the 7th or the 8th. You're after playing at a certain level, and in hurling, that's generally speaking at a pace and a speed that's a good little bit below. When you're going to come into July the 7th, you're going to be playing maybe the likes of Clare or as we have in the past, or some of these teams, or Kilkenny or Wexford, some of these who are playing at a much, much higher level in the previous 4 or 5 weeks, and you're expected then to be able to sprint when you've been, you know, playing at a different level. The gap at that stage, and particularly in summer hurling, is just too big. And so if you're looking at that as a development model for your team, it just, it's going to be very, very difficult to work, and you know, you're going to get a beat and you're back down to where you started again. I think they need to look at that a little bit differently if they're looking at having this type of a Joe McDonagh Cup system as a development platform for these counties, and how you're going to actually make that work to bring these counties up.
Yeah, okay, listen lads, brilliant stuff. We've gone way over, but it is a championship preview, so there's
Cheddar,
so many. So
Cheddar, who's your hurler of the year?
I think at the minute, I would say on technical ability, John McGrath. On importance to the team, Look, you'd have to look at Joe last year. You know, I know you can say he's a maligned person, but Joe Canning is an incredible, incredible hurler and a really, really important player. I expect him to do the same this year. I'm very interested actually in that game in Galway, because, you know, he's playing Kilkenny, and the quality players always know the importance of the occasion, and the great players always step up to that occasion. So I think John McGrath for me is an incredibly efficient forward. May not be a tracker or a tackler or some of those things, but other than that, I think Joe is delivering on a huge amount of promise that we've seen over a long number of years.
I actually asked Tony Kelly, I was doing a thing recently, and he had to pick a player of the year, and he went John McGrath without any hesitation. He thought John McGrath would be. Damien, I'll throw that to you. I actually thought I was keeping you too long here, but you're eager to keep talking there, Damien, if you were asking the questions. Who do you fancy?
When you rang me yesterday and asked me would I come on the show with predictions, I said to them, you know, what are the questions going to be? So then I started going, horror of the year, who would I give my horror the year to? And I just thought about it, and I just said, Joe, who I reckon could get horror of the year this year? And I said, Dahi Burke.
Oh yeah, that's a good call.
I think he's just Mr. Consistent, rock solid, cool as a breeze. He's 3 All-Stars, one in the last 3 years. He could just have another unbelievable season again this year.
It's hard for full backs to get it though, isn't it?
Well, he's been putting a lot of top quality full forwards in his pocket, so he has for the last couple of seasons. And like Shamie Cannon absolutely dreadful, you know, for example. So I just sit down and you go, who could get it, who would have the potential, who's the quality? So my answer was Dahi Burke. I think he could be a massive player for Galway to go on to win the All-Ireland, you know, mind in the square.
Yeah, and I'm saying Richie Lahey then for Young Player of the Year. Will we all agree on that and end the podcast?
Who is your senior?
Well, it's going to be between Kilkenny player, Tipperary player, and Galway player.
Just name one player.
TJ Reid on current form. Now, but Kilkenny have to get to the final, so that could scupper me. You have to get to the final, so yeah, I'd probably Tipperary or Kilkenny player. So I don't know. You're the experts anyways, as nobody tunes into this podcast to hear who I think's going to be player of the year. Right, listen, we have to end the podcast at this stage. I could be here all day with the two of you.
And sorry, Colm, you don't have to get to the All-Ireland final to get heard here.
But it's a big help though, in fairness. I know you don't have to.
It worked out that Tony Brown got heard of the year 1 year, and Dan Shannon.
Yeah. Did Dan not get to the final that year, no? No, he didn't.
No.
He got all the goals.
No.
Yeah. No, you don't have to. I know you don't have to, but in general they do, unless you're absolutely incredible. Right. Listen, we'll leave it there, lads. Go on. Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance of goal, I said I'd stay going. So I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken. I let it go, cause I won't see you later, and we're not allowed to talk it out.